This is HPR episode 1996 entitled, Exotool Magic, and is part of the series, Lightweight Apps. It is hosted by Nacho Jordi, and is about 18 minutes long. The summary is, overview, and a few usage possibilities of the Exotool program.
This episode of HPR is brought to you by anhonesthost.com. Get 15% discount on all shared hosting with the offer code HPR15. That's HPR15. Better web hosting that's honest and fair at anhonesthost.com.
Hello, this is Nacho Jordi and you're listening to Hacker Public Radio. Today I'm going to discuss a little program called Exotool, which I would probably have better include in the episode about what's in my bag. I just remember it later. So this is a very simple podcast. Well, I want to repair that injustice, because Exotool is also one of those programs that I install in every computer that's in my possession, because it's a very useful tool and that allows you to do a lot of crazy stuff. So what is Exotool and what can I do? What can it do? Exotool, basically, it's a little program that you run from the terminal or from a bash script that allows you to simulate user input from either keyboard or mouse. So, in other words, what Exotool does is tricking your computer into thinking that you've pressed a key or you've done something with the mouse. For example, you can trick the computer into thinking that you've typed a certain word or moved with the cursor keys or pressed enter or tab. It's not limited to letters, but anything that's in the keyboard pretty much. Well, most of it, I haven't tried the most weird keys, but you can pretty much do anything you can do with your 10 fingers. You can do it with Exotool. On the mouse side of things, you can tell it to move the cursor around. You can both in relative coordinates and in absolute. And you can simulate a left click, a middle click, a right click. Also, just as a punctual click, like when you click on a link, or keeping the mouse button sustained hold. As you can imagine, this opens a whole world of possibilities of things there where you can automate things. The syntax of the command, it's Exotool, a certain command of what you want to do with a keyboard or a mouse. And it's pretty straightforward. For example, Exotool key, and then you put the letter, the key you want the Exotool to type, to tell the computer that has been typed. And the only tricky thing about the Exotool syntax, perhaps, is the special keys, the not alphabet keys. For example, for enter, you have to use Exotool key return. and also the return has the first letter in as a capital letter. So it took me some time to find this essential shortcut. And it doesn't appear very clear in the documentation. It would be nice if someone would provide a list of all these special keys, like return or the tab key, etc. So, once you have the tool installed, it's very easy to install, not a lot of no dependency health. It's pretty straightforward. With this program, then you can do a lot of things, like I say, to automate stuff. For example, one thing that I've done very often, because I always like to start with the hardest things first, it seems, is I've automated the data introduction. Some websites that can be very boring and make the tasks very repetitive. Websites that are not very well designed or don't have the user in mind as much as the design and the colors. If the task is big enough, you can maybe it's a good idea to make a tiny script that automates a few movements. This idea depends a lot on the web and on the task you're doing. Our age is in a way the rise of bureaucracy, because due to computers there's a form for everything. You have to be filling forms all day in all kinds of contexts. If you want a girlfriend, if you want to have your ceiling repaired, everything needs a form now. So sometimes it's useful to create a small bash robot. Because X2Tool, another thing that allows is the mouse wheel. It has the whole range of movements that a mouse can allow. One limitation of doing this is that when you're working with websites, obviously, you cannot always predict how long is going as website taking is going to take to download the page. So then this is what makes this idea somewhat impractical, because if you don't know how long the website is going to take, I mean, you can find your way through a process, and you can map the process of what you do in a website. Let's say it's a website, for example, where you introduce images and they have to click somewhere and then go through a menu to change the order of the picture, something like that. You can do a first iteration very slow and saying, okay, this is the process, so now I can write the X2Tool script. But as you cannot predict how long it's going to take going from website from page A to page B, your only solution is creating a buffer of, let's say, 2 to 3 seconds to make sure that the second page is loaded before X2Tool resumes doing its thing. So there you lose part of the savings, of the time savings that you were intending to get with your script. Anyway, sometimes it's still a better idea. It's still a good idea, but not always, because, for example, in this example of the website to upload images, I'm thinking of a particular poorly designed site where I tried that. You have to be present to insert the images. So there it's a bit nerve-breaking using the robot, but because in the end you have to wait for the computer to load So this kind of, I mean, it's very tiresome on your nerves when you have to do something, then wait 3 seconds, then do something, then wait 3 seconds. Even if it's automated, it's a bit, the automation is not comfortable for you, at least in my case. I think the cost, the energy cost of starting and stopping all the time, it's a bit straining. But this kind of automation can be useful in websites where you can automate the whole thing, the whole process. You don't have to, you can run the script once you've made sure it's stable and just go and do something else while the computer finishes its process. And also, as a bonus, let's say, you cannot deny that it's very spectacular, one of these scripts running, and when you can see the computer doing stuff on its own and typing on its own, it's like a science fiction movie. But that's a a childish advantage, but well, I wanted to mention it too. So, okay, this kind of automation of sites has its limitations. I still have a couple of scripts in my computer that I can go to scripts for certain tasks, but like I say, it's a bit, can be a bit tricky. Well, what I found more useful using X2, it's I created a small wrapper script. It's like a typer robot. It's like a command. It would be like an echo command. Let's say it's not called echo. It's called something else. Where like you say, it's like saying your computer, please type this for me. And this wrapper can be used in a lot of contexts. And connected to this type of robot, the other great uses I've found is, for example, to put a timestamp to things. That robot, I use it a lot, a simple key press, and I have a year, month, day and hour that I can add to a script or to a text file, and that's very, very useful. The way I started using this kind of timestamps, maybe deserves a comment. It all started with when I read in a blog post from a guy called Dr. Bunsen, a system he uses to classify his files. What he does is adding this kind of timestamp to in the file name, and then using the file name as a placeholder for tags, let's say. And then instead of using a file trees system with hierarchies, he has it all the files in the same pool, let's say, and locates the files using search commands. It's an interesting approach. I used it for a long time, but I found that the long file names can be confusing sometimes, and most of the time, or on many occasions, for the uses that I give to my computer, what you end up having is a lot of information that you don't need in the file name, a lot of clutter. So of course, Dr. Bunsen is like a biologist, I think, so his needs are different from mine, and I liked to try this approach. The tags are very useful in some contexts, but anyway, I moved to a different system, but I kept this timestamp, and in a lot of tasks, I'm always finding new uses for it because, I mean, having a way to register at what time something happens is a very essential thing. And as a side note, I've never understood very well why the founding fathers of Unix, Dennis Ritchie and Ken Thompson, why didn't they include a creation date field in the files? Files have a last time modified information, but I don't think that's as useful as having when a file was created, because it provides you with an instant chronology of your work and of your life. Of course, Unix, as we all know, is rock solid, and our founding fathers would have serious reasons behind, maybe because they were on a business context and this kind of information is not that useful. But it would be great, because even if you're a disorganized person who uses Linux, and at some point you get the itch to become organized, having a creation time of a file would allow you to see that chronological perspective. I'm sure I speak out of ignorance, and there's a good reason for that, like for most of the things we know and love in Unix and Linux. So anyway, I use this timestamp thing, and also related to the automatic typing and to time in a way too. I've also developed a small script that I call ChronoText that works like this. When I press a key, the computer tells me, okay, I've started counting. And then I do whatever I'm doing. And then when I press that key again, the computer types how many seconds have passed. It's like a mega straightforward chronometer. And I'm finding more and more ways to use it because my idea was creating a chronometer that was took all the stuff out of the way. I didn't want to have a new window opening. I didn't want to have to look for that program. So yeah, key press and the text, and then that text that types itself automatically, depending on the task, I can register or I can just take a look at it and then letting it go, etc. So, it's a script that works very well for me. I'm not including it because I think it's a very specialized kind of thing and I don't think anybody's interested in it, but if anybody would like this, of course, I just contact me and I will send you the code, but it's also a very trivial code. So I guess most of Hacker Public Radio listeners would better like to write their own versions than using my script. But if you're interested in this or the other, the typer robot, of course, I can send you the code. And that's all I have for you today. It's in the show notes. I'll give you links to the X2 tool and it's a funny addition to your system. I encourage you to at least give it a try because it's really very easy to install. So thank you for listening one more time and well, have a nice day. Thank you very much. Bye.
You've been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by an HBR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club and is part of the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. If you have comments on today's show, please email the host directly, leave a comment on the website, or record a follow-up episode yourself. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution ShareAlike 3.0 license.